Well, I want to encourage you this morning and remind you that you are a part of this incredible story that God is writing. When I visit churches across Canada, I'm reminded that what God is doing in the world isn't happening just through a few individuals or organizations. It's happening through the body of Christ, right? It's happening through local churches like yours and like mine, like people who see beyond these walls and join what God is doing around the world. And so I want to encourage you that you are not spectators in God's story, that you are participants in it. You're part of the story that God is writing. And we love stories, don't we? I want you to think about the time when you first fell in love with stories. Well, I confess that I did not always love stories. I did not love reading or writing. Actually, until I was in grade 4, I was much more interested in making a craft or running around outside playing a sport. I was not into reading or writing, and I did not want to sit still to listen to a story until grade 4. But my youngest daughter is now in grade 4, and this past June, she brought home her bag of school supplies and all of her work, and I was so excited to look through all of it. My older daughter is in French immersion, and so she would bring home her schoolwork, and I couldn't read any of it. I took French in school, but my apologies to those teachers, I did not retain hardly any of it. But my younger daughter is in English, and so I was so thrilled to be able to look through her schoolwork. I remember writing those journals as a kid, you know, over the weekend, And I was so excited as her mom to read, oh, what are all the wonderful things she's going to say that we did together? What stories is she going to write that I can read? Because those are always hilarious. And I opened up her journal, and this was, oh, I don't know if you can see that. This was, oh yes, this is one of many pages like this. I can interpret it for you. Once upon a time, there was a later, maybe. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but I do love her honesty, right? There's no promise that she's coming back to this page. There's no promise you're getting any more details about this story. She probably saw something shiny and ran off, and there goes the story. But I remember in grade 4, very clearly when I fell in love with stories, because I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Perhaps this series is familiar to you, and you love it as well. That's when I fell in love with a good story. And so I've planted that book in her room, hoping maybe we're going to get somewhere this year, but you can pray for us. But we love stories, don't we? We love a good story. Perhaps there are ones that you go back to over and over again. Or maybe there's ones that your children say, tell us this story again. Or maybe when you get together at Christmas, someone's going to tell that story again, and you're going to laugh. I think we love stories because they shape us, don't they? They help us make sense of who we are and what on earth we are here for. And when we think about the stories of our lives, I think it's easy to just see it in small pieces. Maybe we just think about our routines, or we think about our own local community, or we just think about our own individual joys or struggles that are happening. But sometimes there's these beautiful moments. Sorry, don't be alarmed by the number of pages up here. You may be thinking, that's a lot of paper, we're gonna be here a while. I promise you, if there wasn't a lot of paper, we would be here even longer. So I'm gonna stick to this. But sometimes there's these beautiful moments where we catch a glimpse of how our life has impacted someone else. Sadly, it's sometimes not until a funeral where you hear these types of stories, isn't it? And you think, I didn't know that person knew that person or impacted that person's life. But sometimes we have these moments in our own lives where we catch a glimpse of how we're connected to something so much bigger. Maybe you hear a story of how someone was helped by your generosity, or maybe you've prayed for someone and then you've heard about that answered prayer. There's something really beautiful about realizing that our small stories, our small acts of faithfulness, are part of a grand unfolding story that God Himself is writing. But I think it's also easy to forget that at times, isn't it? It's easy to forget that our story is a part of something so much bigger. And so we often wonder, do our stories really make a difference at times? Does what we do here in Calgary really matter to God's mission in Lebanon or Bolivia or elsewhere around the world? Is our part really significant? Is it really helping? Well, I know that you are in a sermon series on Galatians, so thanks for pausing this Sunday. We're going to flip ahead a few pages and read from Philippians this morning, because I think Paul has something really beautiful to say about those questions. So here, Paul's words from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Paul writes this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. These words from Paul, I think, come from the heart of someone who knew what partnership in mission looked like. We have Paul here writing from prison, absolutely uncertain about his future. And yet this letter to the Philippians, I encourage you to take a few moments later and read through it. It's short. This letter to the Philippians overflows with gratitude and joy. And I think that's because Paul knew that he was not alone. He knew that he was not a lone character in his story. There was a church in Philippi that was standing beside him. They had prayed for him. They had sent help when he was in need. They had joined him in the work of the gospel. Paul didn't see this church as donors or supporters. He saw them as true partners, fellow participants in the story of what God is doing in the world through Jesus Christ. One commentator on this passage writes that Paul's gratitude isn't simply for what the Philippians have done, but for what their partnership reveals. It shows that God himself is at work in and through them, that their faith, their generosity, their perseverance are signs of the new creation already breaking in. They are signs of God's kingdom here and now. Don't you love Paul's confidence in this? That he says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's not wishful thinking. Instead, it's a declaration of faith in a God who promises that he will finish what he starts. I think the heartbeat of this passage is gratitude for what God has begun, confidence in what God will complete, and joy in the partnership that makes us part of that story. And as I mentioned, CBM works through partnerships. And I will tell you, this is not the easiest way to work. It is often much easier to do things on your own, isn't it? I don't know if you were like me, but when a teacher assigned group work, I thought, oh heavens, here we go. I would just much rather just do this project on my own. It is often much easier to do things on our own. It would be easy for CBM to say, we would like to work in this country, to move in, to set up shop, to put up our logo, and to get to work. But would that be the most effective way? Would that be the best way? I don't think, and certainly not for our understanding of joining God in mission. Instead, CBM waits to be invited. We listen, we learn, we take a posture of humility, we try to understand culture, we extend mutuality and friendship, and all those words sound beautiful, but let me tell you, it is also messy. That's part of what I love about working at CBM. There is an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, Do you know the end? Go together. And we know this in our own lives, don't we? Our own stories are better with relationships. They're messier. They're better with partnerships. They're better with other people in them. It's not always easier, but I promise you it is richer, it is fuller, and it is absolutely messier. And our stories are part of this same story that Paul was writing, the story that is still being written today, both here and around the world. And like the Philippians, you and I are a part of this gospel partnership. Your prayers and your giving are not just random acts of kindness. They're chapters and they are verses in the story of what God is doing. And through CBM's partnerships, you've joined hands with local believers in Lebanon who are serving refugee children. These are children who have known fear, displacement, and loss, but are now discovering hope through education and care. And that's all provided in and through the local church. Lebanon, as you know, has faced enormous challenges. Economic collapse, political instability, and the strain of hosting millions of refugees. I remember it was maybe just months into the pandemic. I know we don't like to talk about that, but a few years ago an event happened. And I had a Zoom call with Ali Haddad, who at the time was the team lead for the MENA region with us at CBM. And I said to Ali, I said, "Oh, Ali, how are you doing?" Thinking we're in the middle of a pandemic. How are people coping with the pandemic? And Ali just sort of sat back in his chair and he laughed at me and he said, "Oh, Louise, the pandemic is not even in the top five crises that we are dealing with right now in Lebanon." And I thought, oh my goodness, I have so much to learn, don't I? But it's been fascinating. Life is a struggle in Lebanon. And yet right in the middle of that struggle, God's story of redemption is unfolding. We have beautiful partners in Lebanon who are doing incredible ministries. And Truevine School is certainly part of that redemption. Some of the children at Truevine have never been to school before. And some carry memories of bombings, and they're certainly carrying a lot of loss. But when they step into that classroom, they find warmth, they find teachers who greet them by name, they find safety and love and dignity. I want to tell you a story of a girl named Jamila. Her family fled Syria 12 years ago. Her mother was killed in a bombing, and her stepmother has raised her as her own. They live in what was never intended to be a home. They live in a garage that is very cold in the winter and very hard to heat. And they barely have enough to get by most days. The father works whenever he can, but jobs are hard to come by. Their oldest daughter, Jamila, has a hernia that causes her pain when she runs or plays. And she's constantly bullied by children because of it. For years, no school would accept her, either because they were Syrian or because it was full and there was no space. But the Truevine School welcomed her. And in just a year, she's learned to read and write in both Arabic and in English. And she's confident now. She's making friends. She says that she'd like to become a lawyer when she grows up. Her stepmom says, "It's 1,000 times better than any public school. They teach the children to respect and love one another. They care for their safety and their health." And she says, "I wish every girl could study in such a place." That same church, Truevine, has also provided the family with food boxes, with clothes, and most importantly, with compassion when they needed it most. And the mom said something very beautiful. She says, "Even though we are not Christians, they welcomed us, and we've seen God's love through them." And this is what partnership in the gospel looks like. It's not charity, it's transformation. It's not us helping them, it's God working through his people, bringing light into dark places. And you're part of that story. You're part of that chapter in Jamila's life. I think Paul's closing words remind us of something essential, that God's story is ongoing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. The God who began his good work here in Buena Vista is still writing through your compassion. He's writing through your generosity. He's writing through your willingness to care about what God is doing beyond your own community. And the same is true in Lebanon. God is writing the story there too. He's writing it in classrooms that are full of laughter, in the faith of teachers who keep showing up, and in the families who are finding hope again and again. Let me tell you one more story. This was shared with me by Evangeline. She wanted to share the story of Suzanne's family. Evangeline says, "When I was in Lebanon earlier this year, I met a woman named Suzanne." I think we do. Yeah, there's a photo of her. This is a mother of four. She has a bright smile and one of the warmest hugs I've ever received, Evangeline says. "From the moment that I walked into her home, you could sense both strength and joy in that place, even though her family's life has been filled with unimaginable challenges. Suzanne and her husband live in the Paca Valley, and their four children, with their four children, three sons and a daughter named Antonella, who was 14. Antonella was injured at birth when she fell from the nurse's hands. The accident caused brain damage and left her partially paralyzed. She can't walk on her own, and she needs constant care, which her mother provides around the clock. Her two younger boys also have health issues. One needs regular blood transfusions, and the other struggles with severe vision loss. Her husband worked hard in construction to provide for the family, but a few months ago, he fell from a roof and broke several ribs. And since then, he hasn't been able to do heavy work. He now drives a tuk-tuk when he can, but the pain and now high blood pressure make that very difficult. This family quickly slipped deeper into debt, especially with the medical bills piling up. Suzanne talks about how one night during the war, their neighborhood was hit by airstrikes. She was trying to move Antonella's bed away from the window when the first explosion hit the building door. The power went out, the glass shattered, and everything went black. Her husband and sons ran downstairs for safety. But Suzanne couldn't go, because Antonella, being too heavy now to carry down the stairs alone. So she stayed, and she said, "I would rather die with her than leave her behind." That kind of love, that fierce sacrificial love, says everything about who Suzanne is. It was through this season of deep struggle that Suzanne was introduced to CBM's local church partner in the Paca Valley. The church has since adopted her family, providing food boxes, blankets, and heating fuel during the cold months. When the staff first met Suzanne, they saw her faith and her determination and were pleased to be able to walk alongside her. Suzanne says, "Sometimes we have nothing to give our children, not even bread, but the church stands by us every time." And Evangeline says that the church hasn't just met her physical needs, they've become family. One staff member, also known as Uncle to the kids, drops by to visit and plays with the boys, filling their home with laughter. Evangeline said that when she visited, that same joy filled the room. Suzanne had us all laughing until we cried as she told the story of driving an old car, one that wouldn't shift into reverse, and how she had to plan every trip so that she never needed to back up. Evangeline says, "Before we left, she brought out a large chocolate cake she had baked to welcome us. And later we learned that she had made it with just using the last of the flour from her food box. Out of her scarcity, she gave generously." She says, "Suzanne's story is a beautiful reminder that tears and laughter, that scarcity and abundance, often live side by side. This is the type of partnership that CBM engages in. And through CBM's partners supported by Canadian Baptist churches, Suzanne's story and Jamila's stories are experiencing the love of Jesus in real and practical ways. Their families are being cared for and are being written into this story that God is writing. He continues to write through your compassion, through your generosity. He's writing even through our mistakes, isn't he? He's writing also through our failures, because he redeems them all in his story. He's writing through our willingness to see beyond our own stories, our own communities, and to care about what he's doing around the world. When we talk about mission at CBM, we're not talking about a program or a project, even though we have over 100 of those around the world. When we talk about mission, we're talking about participation in the ongoing story of God. The church's mission is not about keeping a private faith. It's not about maintaining an institution or a building, but it's about living as people through whom God is putting the world right. And that's a beautiful calling, I think. To join God in that work with the promise that he finishes what he starts. And so what do we do as God people, as God's people? So what? So how do we become a part of this story? Well, I think we lean into it. We encourage one another to continue to play their part in the story that God is writing. We keep showing up, don't we? We keep praying, because prayer keeps our hearts aligned with God. We keep giving, because generosity is how God's love takes flesh in our world. We keep learning, because understanding what God is doing globally deepens our discipleship locally. And we keep thanking God. We keep thanking God because gratitude is the language of those who know they are a part of something so much bigger. In God's story, there is no later, maybe, absolutely not. God is the author who never, ever leaves a story complete. And I want to remind you and encourage you that God's story is always better than we could ever hope or imagine. So thank you, church. Thanks for your faithfulness and for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for caring about God's story and leaning into it. Your story matters. It's a part of something so much bigger than any of us can even see. Well, I want to close. Let me pray for you, and then I want to close with a very short video that gives you a bit of a glimpse into our life and our work at CBM. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a good, good God. Thank you for being the author of our stories. Thank you that we are never alone in them. God, thank you that you're redeeming all the parts of our story that are broken. Thank you that you're not surprised or put off by any of it, but that you lean into it, that you are right there with us in the midst of our pain, our joys, our challenges, our victories. And God, thank you that our stories are a part of something so much bigger, so much more than we can ever imagine. God, we ask that you would continue to use us. Thank you for the invitation to join you in what you're already doing around the world. And we give you thanks. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.